from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at YahooSportsRadio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Good morning. Welcome in another edition, another time for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Mr. Mike Herzing, how are you, my friend?
I am having a fabulous day, big guy.
Saturday morning, lots to get to. We'll talk to a rep from Michelin a little bit later on in the program. We'll also take our Q&As from you guys in the audience to ask Mike Herzing about the numerous automotive questions you guys have been sending us about what is going on with your car while you're behind the wheel. But let's start the show with some really good news. And if you're in the car industry, you know about this. And it's been such a really cool thing to watch over the last year, year and a half. But Ford and the entire industry posting huge numbers, Mike, for car sales. The low gas prices combined with the economy on pretty solid footing, we are seeing some records being broken for car sales.
Yeah, we are. And actually, there's some a little bit, you have to kind of interpret some of these numbers, okay? Because people are saying, wow, F-Series sales were really up. And some of those numbers, they sold 60,000, almost 61,000 Ford F-Series. In a month.
In February.
Oh, my God. And, you know, that's only a 10% increase. But, really, that's their best number in a February in a decade.
Mm.
But, you know, a lot of that is going to be a lot of that was called fleet sales. You know, let's say, like, you know, the so-and-so, like school districts or company sales or things. That's what you get fleets, right? Now, here's the deal. Is that the loaded platinum versions? No, it's not. Okay? It's going to be more of the work truck. Okay, that's not going to be the big profitable market. And also, they've got to cut the pretty good deals on those models. But it's still, it's product out on the market. So you got to look at that. It's not going to be the big money product. It's not going to be the high profit product. Okay? Then you look on the other side of that. What's their number one competitor? General Motors. Their numbers weren't really all that good. They made, you know, they made a profit, but it wasn't, it was, they just eked out a small profit. But here's the deal. They actually cut their fleet sales. They specifically aimed this month to cut down on fleet sales. And that's where Ford, some of their Ford fleet sales came from.
Hmm.
Okay, they said, look, we're going to kind of cut down on the fleet business. And that's one thing that, for example, Honda's never gotten into much of the fleet sales. When you look at the rental fleets, do you see many Hondas in them? No, you don't.
Right.
You don't see a lot of Hondas in the fleet sale business because that's not real retail numbers. They want the high profit money, okay? You don't see a lot. So GM has kind of cut down on that. Tell you what, Jeep, Chrysler, they made some good money this year, and they've made some good profit money. Jeep, double-digit sales increases, and also Ram, big money increases. How about that?
Well, what's cool also, I think, it's funny, but you don't think of this, but the extra day in February being a leap year helped. Because you have a whole extra day of sales around the country, and they're attributing some of the increases, some of the good numbers, because February is a 29-day month in 2016 versus last year being a 28-day month.
Yeah, that's true, but also don't forget we had all that snow and ice and things like that. And so there's January, there's a lot of pent-up demand, and also credit is freeing up just a little bit. And you know, as long as they don't get into the subprime sales like they got into a few years ago, you know, where they're given, oh, really, you've got a job, you can fog a mirror, here, take a car.
Right.
We don't want to get into that. And this is kind of cool. And
it's definitely a fun time right now in the automotive industry. It's definitely a good time to be in the automotive industry. I mean, what's crazy is that we know that gas prices in places like Houston stays low because of the refineries and the proximity, the lack of travel, freight, and taxes in Texas on oil. But, you know, here in Las Vegas where I am, it's $1.75. On the West Coast.
Go.
I mean, in if you go across the border into California, I mean, you're paying $2.40, $2.50?
That's not bad there.
That's insane.
Go.
I mean, it is. So if you're in major population centers, if you're in big states, even states that have high taxes and a lot of different things, add-ons when it comes to the fuel prices, it's still right now just an unbelievable time to have, you know, to buy fuel.
Great time to travel, and thus
people are saying, okay, you know what, we can afford to buy that SUV. Right. We can afford to buy the truck. We can go up and, you know, we don't have to penny pinch here and go, you know, with the smaller midsize or small car. We can go and get the full size. So it's neat right now. I mean, to see these numbers, it's really exciting. And obviously, we're in the winter, in the wintertime months in the north, so we're dealing with a lot of sales due to the weather. But gas prices being what they are, really driving things around here. So let's talk. Speaking of weather. Let's talk potholes.
Oh.
And let's talk about the maybe one of the biggest and most frustrating things when it comes to owning a vehicle is you expect your city or town to have the streets paved and not littered with these big old huge hunking things that crush your tires, bend your rims, and pop your front end alignments out of place. And that is potholes.
Yeah.
And,
well, up in the east, on the east, especially any snow, anything in the snow belt, you know, obviously the potholes are horrible. And the guys at Ford have designed this new computerized high-tech system that what it does is it has these cameras that detect potholes. Okay, and as you're driving along, it looks at the front edge of the pothole. I mean, we're talking, some of these things are caverns.
And
it says, it says, hey, there's a pothole, and it, as you run, as the tire runs across it, and it's catches it, it sees that there's a pothole there, and it stiffens up the suspension so the tire doesn't drop into the pothole. And then as it glides, so basically it grabs the tire and keeps it from sinking down into the pothole.
It's great.
And so it won't catch the other side, it won't bend the rim, won't pop the tire, won't knock the front end out of alignment. It's great. Matter of fact, Ford had a demo where it fills a pothole full of ping pong balls.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives a Ford Fusion over it, and it doesn't crush the ping pong balls.
Didn't touch it.
Is that awesome?
It's really cool, considering that this study just came out from Nationwide. It found that the average American motorist will spend $300 this year repairing damage caused by potholes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
$15 billion over the last 5 years.
That's average. So, you know, for the guys that didn't spend any money, there's the guys that spent $500.
Right.
So, okay, I'll go for that. But, I mean, this is going to be standard on some of the Fusions. I mean, you're talking some of the lower-end cars. And this is great technology. And it's going to happen. It's going to can adjust it every 2 milliseconds. This
well, what's cool, great. I think it's what's neat about it going on the smaller vehicles is if you have a Jeep or a truck, chances are the suspension and the tire size, you're not really worrying about potholes because your truck can or Jeep can roll right through it. Now, it has to be a pretty big and nasty pothole to really get after a Jeep tire. But the smaller vehicles, the ones with the smaller tires and the, you know, sometimes the plastic rims or the rims aren't that, you know, well put together.
They take a beating. And
they get crushed.
Yeah, you're on the side of the road and it does all the damage to those suspensions.
So that's big to put it on a vehicle like that to say, you know what, we recognize that these tires are vulnerable to potholes, in particular in urban areas where the potholes can be really psychotic and stay for weeks. And you're driving down a neighborhood you don't know or you weren't comfortable with, and all of a sudden, bang, your tire blows out and you're stuck.
Yep, and the tire industry is also doing more availability on different sizes of the run-flat tires that don't immediately go flat, don't immediately strand you, and that's really going to help. And
yeah, so, the run flats are huge. I mean, I have them on my car, and I can't tell you, you get a pop tire, and you realize, okay, I at least got 50 miles. At least I can keep going and get home or get safety, get somewhere safely, not to worry about my tire going flat. And, you know, there's nothing worse than being on a highway and having to change a tire. That is a scary proposition. I think we've all been there.
I know. It's just horrible. It's just a bad situation. I know, you know, you want to complain and whine at the government, but, you know, they can only do so much. And it's the weather.
There's certain cities that are better than others.
Yeah.
Houston's horrible. Let's call a spade here. The Houston roads are awful.
Yeah, they are.
And that's really, it's almost unacceptable how bad the roads are in Houston for a city that does not see snow. To have the level of potholes that Houston has is crazy. Right. You got, you know, the northern cities. Philadelphia is notorious. New York, Boston, notorious. Chicago, notorious for having really bad, you know, depending on where you are. But, you know, those roads, when the plows go over, those roads get ripped up. And, you know, everyone says plow the streets, but then when you plow the streets, it does have wear and tear, and it can be kind of problematic. So Interesting stuff for sure. It's Let's Talk Wiz with Mike Herzing, brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the car Mr. Herzing was driving around, and then we'll be joined by a representative from Michelin Tires, speaking of tires. More to come. It's Let's Talk Wiz with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Listening to Nothing But Net on Yahoo Sports Radio
and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Delivering you basketball the only way we know, from the player's perspective. Here are your hosts, Joe George and NBA veteran Troy Hudson.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I'm Matt Peralta. Another Saturday morning. I will talk a little bit about tires with a rep from Michelin coming up here in about 10 minutes. So don't move from that. But Mr. Herzing, what were you behind the wheel of this week?
Wow. I have got a chance to drive the new Nissan Maxima, and wow, I haven't been in a Maxima in a few years. You know, it's the flagship of the Nissan line. You know, and it, you people are saying, what's the Maxima? Well, everybody loves the Altima. That's their big seller. And the Maxima is kind of, if you compare it to the Toyota line, which is their big competitor, it would be, I would say, like the Avalon. You know, and boy, it's nowhere like, it's nothing like the Avalon at all. It is awesome. It is, they change this thing around so much. It's got this, like, I don't know, it's just got this sexy look to it. It didn't seem to have before.
Yeah, they've redesigned it, and they've also remarketed it.
They re-everything.
Yeah, they're going after a different demographic now.
It is, wow, it's now a, it was kind of like a, this kind of luxury sedan and this kind of stuff, but it was kind of regal. And it's like, no, wait a minute. It's now a sports car. It's now a sports sedan. And, wow, it's like 1.3 inch lower. It's about 2.5 inches longer. It's lighter, and it's got more. It's got a stiffer ride. Not a stiffer ride, but a stiffer chassis now, okay? And it really performs now. I mean, I was driving this thing. I was like, man, this thing is, I was on some windy roads. I'm like, how does he handle like the old G35 Infinity sedan or G37. I was like, wow, this thing handles like a sports suit. I was like, this thing is great. And the and also the engine's got this little, you know, their little VQ engine. Their V6 that they use for everything. I'm thinking, this thing handles better than most of the BMW 335s.
Wow.
It's much better than the Acura TLX. I'm like, I just had one of those recently. I was like, this thing is so much nicer than those. And it hauls butt. I was like, I punched this thing. I looked down and went, holy crap, I'm going way too fast. I'm just punching it. I'm looking around at this stuff and look at the gauges, and I looked down at the speedometer and went, oh, my God, I'm going way too fast. I had to slow down because I didn't realize it's only 300 horsepower. I hit that. It's only 300 horsepower.
Right.
3.5 liter V6. But it's got the CVT transmission, which I don't normally like, the constantly variable transmissions. But Nissan, they make it work. But the styling is based on their sports sedan compact. It's really this futuristic, space-age-looking design language. They call it the V-motion front end, the signature boomerang lights. They've got these kind of kick-up design C-pillars, which is, you know, your first pillar by the windshield is the A-pillar, and the kind of like by the door is the B-pillar. That's their C-pillar. It kind of makes the roof look like it's floating. It's really, it's just an amazing looking build. And what's wild is they start at $32,000. Okay. Yep. It comes with this standard Nissan Connect, and with navigation. It's got an 8-inch touchscreen display. It's got remote engine start. It's got rear view monitor. What's wild is not only do you have a backup camera, but you push this button, it's got a camera in the front. Okay, you look at a camera in front of you as you're moving along kind of slowly. Then you've also got a camera that looks all around the vehicle, like the bird's eye view. It is so neat. It comes in like in 5 trim levels. Okay. It's got S, SV, SL, which is new, SR, and then the platinum grade.
Right.
And, man, it is really neat. If you haven't looked at a Maxima, okay, stop, go look at a Maxima, because you're going to just go, it's stunning.
Well, the speed of the car, I think I've I've been in it. The most recent Maxima I've been in is a 2014, and I know that they've done a lot of reworking to it, but they've always had an engine that could go. You know, even they've always really done a great job with performance. They've always done a great job with the car. When you hit the gas, the thing gets up and goes. So that's I've always been a big fan of that car because of the, and even more so now with the redesign, because it is, you're right, it's more of a sporty look. They're going after the more 25 to 35 year old professional with this car because of the performance, and it's sharp. It catches your eye.
They've got that engine's called their VQ engine. It kind of reminds me of the Chevy 283, which they built into a 327 and a 350. The Chevrolet did everything with that engine. Same thing with this one. It runs like crazy. But it's super quiet inside, but it doesn't make you feel like you're in a cocoon, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's got active sound enhancement. So what it does is it enhances the engine sound. So it makes the engine sound louder.
Oh, really?
Okay. And that's what's really cool. And then you put in sport mode, and it makes the engine, you get more engine sound. That's even neater. And it brings, it kind of amplifies the engine sound into the cabin.
Interesting.
So instead of making the engine quieter, it makes it louder. It brings in more engine sound in the cabin for the sport mode. But it's got, plus, then again, okay, all right, Mom, it's got all the safety stuff. Got the predictive forward collision alarm. Mm-hmm. It's got intelligent cruise control, so you can sit there and never put your foot on the brake. It'll do it for you. It's got forward emergency braking, rear cross traffic alert, blind spot monitoring. And it's got all that on all of the SL, SR, and all the platinum grades. And it's got all of the around view monitors, the moving object detection, and 360 degree surround view looking, where you can look at the camera for that thing. Mm-hmm. It's got the driver attention alert system, which tells you if you're drowsy and everything, things start to freak out. If it thinks that you're like the Mercedes, where it says, you got to get a cup of coffee kind of thing. And you know what's wild is? It's built in Tennessee.
Yeah,
it's got the zero-gravity seats, which has this really good bolstering. It's got a night model, had these wild-looking, really neat leather seats, but they looked just different. They were leather-appointed. They're called Ascot leather-appointed seating surfaces. They were heated and cooled.
Mm.
Just this thing is just an awesome vehicle. 11 speaker Bose audio system. I didn't want to give it up. I really didn't want to give this thing. Active ride control. This thing's got everything. And it's kind of basically inspired by the Navy Blue Angels with the cockpit.
Oh, wow.
So, it was a wraparound design for the Maxima. And it's lowered, sculptured, and streamlined to achieve the sweeping aerodynamic profile that's part of the Blue Angels. So
very cool.
It is a very cool thing. And at night, it's kind of like, you know, Audi has that neat signature design at night with their headlights and taillights.
Right.
This thing has that same thing with their headlights and taillights, but I think it looks better.
Very cool.
Check it out. Nissan Maxima.
It's Les Tuck Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We got about a minute left before we have to step aside and then come back with our friends from Michelin. But this is just kind of a PSA, because we are an automotive show, and this study should freak everybody out. AAA ran a poll last month, and they found that 87% of drivers are engaging in high-risk behavior behind the wheel. Yep. That includes talking on the phone, texting on the phone, just being generally distracted. But 87% of us are distracted.
I know, and it's terrible because I'm on my motorcycle and you can run into me. It's terrible.
Well, it's scary for everyone. I mean, 39% of people ran a red light. 32% had a hard time keeping their eyes open while they were driving because they were so tired.
48% went 15 miles per hour or more over the speed limit in the last month.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's
a lot of us.
Yeah.
But 32% texted while they were driving.
I know.
32% are texting while driving. Please be careful, folks. Please, please.
Yeah.
When you hear those numbers, it's hyper scary and it's very dangerous, but 87% of us are not doing what we're supposed to do.
18% drove without a seatbelt in the last 30 days.
That's crazy.
15% did more than once. That'll kill you.
Yeah, that's right, crazy. There. That's not smart. All right, next we come back with our friends from Michelin. We'll talk a little bit about the new tires coming out from Michelin here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Peralt.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue. And, well, Mike, let's talk to one of your friends, and let's talk about some new things coming on with Michelin.
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah, when you think of tires, naturally you think of Michelin. And we've got Steve Peters on the line, and he is the tire expert from Michelin. Steve, you there?
I'm here. How are y'all?
We're doing great. You know, Steve, we've got a lot of guys that are taking a trip for spring break coming up, and you know what that means, flat tires. How can we solve that problem, big guy?
Yeah, flat tires for sure. I mean, people are going to be on the roads that much more, and there's that much more of a likelihood that they could hit something for sure. So, yeah, I would say, you know, there are a number of things I think that we try to make sure we have something out there to help folks with, because there's so many different needs. And, you know, when we say I'm going to head out for spring break, you know, and you know, that could be anything in Texas from driving down to Rockport to go fish, or it could be heading out to Big Bend, or, you know, all over the place. So, you know, we want to make sure we've got a handful of options, but then also make sure that, you know, we get some good safety advice out there for folks too, like, you know, check your tread depth, check your tire pressure, things like that.
You know, when it comes to checking the tread depth, do you have any advice for people, anything they could use in their house to potentially kind of gauge? Because I don't know if people really know. It may look like you're fine with tread, but in actuality, you're not.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, most tires are going to come with some the tread depth bars where once you get down to a certain point, they're exposed and they're a little bit easier to see. But, you know, when in doubt, if you do the penny test, you know, if once it gets, once you put the penny into the what do you call it, in between the tread blocks, you know, if there is more than the if you're right at about the head of right there, then it will that's probably not enough tread, and you should probably think about going in and getting it checked out. But, you know, I'd say as long as consumers are taking their vehicles in for regular checkups, that's definitely something that it gets pointed out. So as soon as you start getting into, say, you know, 4:30 seconds, 3:30 seconds, that time, that area, it's probably good to start thinking about a new set of tires.
Now, Steve, I've got a question for you. Let's say you've got a, you know, Chevy pickup or a Ram pickup or something like that, and you're going to carry a trailer, and you're going to put, you know, let's say you're going to put your boat in the back, and you're going to put a few things, you know, put some goodies in the back, a couple hundred pounds of gear in the back of your truck, things like that. Would you recommend maybe putting an extra 4 or 5 pounds of air in the tires, or would you just leave them where you would standard?
I think by and large, you know, the OEMs are going to recognize that their vehicles are going to get used. You know, sometimes, especially in trucks, you know, it can be overloaded and underloaded. So what the vehicle manufacturer recommends is probably about where it should stay.
Okay.
And honestly, too, so many new vehicles come with TPMS sensors that you know, those are going to be pretty specific on what you need to have. So then it's not really going to adjust that much based on the weight.
Okay.
Now, if you start really loading it down, say you're going to carry a tandem axle trailer or a horse trailer or something along those lines,
right,
then, you know, typically those folks are used to knowing how much weight they're carrying.
Right.
So they're going to have to, you know, make sure they have enough air pressure in there to carry the load. But by and large, if you're just, you know, loading it down with a boat to run from here to there, you know, if the TPMS sensor goes off, then you can make the adjustment. But that's typically accounted for in what the truck manufacturer says.
Now, one of the questions I was going to ask you is, I know, let's say we bought a vehicle that maybe didn't come with Michelin tires on it, but we always love Michelin, and they've been good to us over in the past, and we want to go over to a Michelin tire. How would we know what Michelin is best for our vehicle?
That's definitely a great question, and I think, you know, something that there's no shortage of out there is information, for sure. So it can be hard to kind of decipher what the, you know, what is the right tire when there can be so many options.
Right.
So really, when you come down to our offer for, let's say, if we want to stay on with the Ram 1500 or the Ford F-150, you know, there's really two or three main options. You know, the primary go-to that we're going to sell is actually going to be what we call the Defender LTX. You know, we've had a history of tires out there starting with the LTX MS, then the LTX MS1, and, you know, it's kind of earned its, I think, a strong reputation over 20, 25 years as being one of the better products out there, especially when it comes to tread life and all-season traction. That's really kind of the jack-of-all-trades, just outstanding truck tire. You know, I still have, you know, consumers and dealers talk about, you know, wow, I love the fact I get, sometimes these tires will last over 100,000 miles. So, you know, they're warranted on, for half-ton truck sizes, to 70,000. And then on your LT metric sizes, like for your three-quarter tons and up, you know, for 50,000 miles, that's kind of the standard go-to tire. You know, if you're driving something more along the lines of, say, a Toyota Highlander or a Nissan Pathfinder, a crossover like that, we actually have a new tire that launched last year also called the Premier LTX, which is really something that we wanted to say, okay, Michelin, I think, is fairly synonymous with a lot of, you know, good words like safety and tread life. We wanted to take that safety side and push it even more, kind of extend that that spectrum out and provide almost the next level of a safety offer from Michelin. So Premier LTX is going to be geared more towards a consumer that's going to stay on the road. You know, not necessarily designed for anything where they need off-road traction or maybe that super strong durability like you'd have in a LTX, Defender LTX. But if you're driving on the road and you're worried about hitting some rain here and there, the Premier LTX is a great offer. So it's really, I guess, two options there to answer your question.
You know, Steve, one thing that I always ask, and I think it's a common question to people, that, you know, say you're about halfway in to your tire treads, 40,000 mile warranty, you're going 20,000 miles, and one of your tires pops. What's the recommendation? Do you replace one of the tires, or when should you replace all four tires?
Well, it can be different on vehicles, but I mean, I would say overall, you don't want to have too much of a difference in the overall diameter. You know, the cars are getting super sensitive, especially, you know, all-wheel drive vehicles. When you start looking at you know, the how sensitive some of the differentials are, if you start running with tires of different dimension, even a half an inch can really cause havoc. And, you know, it may save you a small amount of money right now, but in the long term, you know, you're going to have some major repairs to do. You know, on that note, something that folks may not think about, let's say you bought a truck and it came with, you know, a 265 17 on there. If you upgrade maybe to a 285 all around, but then you get a flat on one of those tires and you have to mount on a spare, you know, that can cause problems too, because you're running three tires that are larger and one as a spare, that's the OE size.
Right.
That's just something to keep in mind. You know, personally, when I get a truck, you know, my vehicle right now, I try to get as big of a tire in there as I can. And sometimes it can be tempting only to buy four, but sometimes you need to get that extra one in case you do have a flat.
Hmm.
You know, you don't want to save a little bit of money now and then have to go and buy a new transmission.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, same kind of thing. I know that I have an Ford Explorer, 2015 Explorer, and I'm kind of like, oh, I got to get tires pretty soon. I don't know what to get, so I'm just like thinking the same thing.
Yep.
What do I do? But luckily it's only two-wheel drive, so it won't be quite so bad.
Right, right. Yeah, I would say just in general, you don't want to have too large of an overall diameter difference. So if you're 40,000 miles in, that's probably approaching the point that you may strongly want to consider replacing all four if you have something happen to one. When in doubt, we've got a number of really strong dealers out there, strong partners across the country, and they'll be sure to tell you, okay, well, you're probably advised to get four here instead of two, even though you only need two to make it out.
Steve, if you could, for the folks listening, how can they get more information about Michelin tires?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think a great solution, a great way to go through and find out plenty more about some of our great products, head to MichelinMan.com, and there you can enter in your vehicle and find out all the options that we have available and what our recommendations are based on your driving needs.
Great. Steve, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys. Hope you have a good day.
That is Steve Peters of Michelin on the Progressive Insurance Liberty Guest Line here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. We are back with questions from the audience from Mike next here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Peralt.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrault with you, brought to you by great friends at Jeep. Once again, if you have not checked out podcastarena.com for this show and all of our shows on the network, please do so. But it's time to ask Mike questions from the audience. You can always post questions to Mike on mike@letstalkwheels.com. First question, Mike, comes from Alex, and I heard you on the radio talking about changing brake fluid every 3 years. Had never heard of that. He's curious about this, and why don't you talk about doing things like this more, Mike?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is important, and you know, it's funny. Honda started talking about, one of the first car companies that ever talked about changing brake fluid. That was way back in the 70s, and you know, it's funny, is whenever we used to do that as part of the Honda services, we never had brake problems. You know, master cylinders never went bad. Wheel cylinders hardly ever leaked and this kind of stuff. And I used to always do that on my Fords and all the Chevy, every vehicle I ever owned. I never had brake problems. And everybody used to say, well, how come you never had brake problems? I said, I changed the fluid. Come to find out, brake fluid is hydroscopic, which means it absorbs moisture. And if you're in a high, in a very, not where you are in Vegas, Matt, but where I'm in Houston, it's very humid, obviously.
Right.
And so every 2 years, I can have 18% of my brake fluid is actually moisture. It'd be water in it, basically.
Huh.
And so it'll absorb so much more. Even though they say it's sealed, it's really not. Okay, so what happens is it corrodes the system. And you've got all that stuff. Besides that, brake fluid will actually start getting copper. It absorbs leaching copper and stuff out of the system. So basically, here's the deal. It's bad for it. Flush it out. Every couple of years, 2 or 3 years, flush the system out. It'll last longer. And that's, you know, master cylinders are $300 or $400 to change them. All that flushing, all that other stuff. Just get the fluid out. It doesn't cost much. You can actually even do it yourself. It's not expensive. Just get a bottle of fluid and flush it out yourself. It's not a big deal. Guess what? Your brakes will last so much longer. They'll feel better. They'll perform better. They won't fade. Matter of fact, if you get your brakes too hot, you'll end up with moisture in the system. You'll end up causing air bubbles from getting the brakes too hot. You'll end up with a brake problem. Just flush the fluid out. You'll be so excited how much better your brakes will work. I'm like, wow, it's great.
Very cool.
Try it. You'll be pleasantly surprised how much better they'll work.
Question two, Mike, comes from Colleen. She asks, I have a 2010 Corolla, needs a coolant change. I can get it done for $50 cheaper at a car wash place than my regular shop, but I've been warned that may not be the right move because they will not use Toyota coolant. Is that actually important?
Believe it or not, it is. Toyota coolant is a little bit different. Now, you can go and buy something that'll say it's Asian coolant or it's going to be generic coolant and this kind of stuff, but it's really not the same. If you use genuine Toyota coolant, it's got different properties to it. It has no phosphates and no silicates. And what is that important? It's not going to have any corrosion. So it's a different. I can open up a Toyota system that's 15 years old, and it's literally like new inside.
Wow.
And yeah, the fluid's a little bit, the coolant's a little bit more expensive, but it's great. And if I can go and buy something that's supposed to be compatible, but it's not going to be the same. I use Toyota coolant on my other vehicles. There's
wow.
a lot of technicians that will go and do other vehicles and use Toyota coolant because they don't want. It's kind of cool, but it's one of those, you know, trade secrets.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those cool deals.
All right, question number three here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing comes from Rhonda. She just bought 2 new tires for her Sentra. The tire shop insisted she put them on the rear of the car since it's a front-wheel drive vehicle. Why wouldn't they be put on the front? Why the rear?
You know, I used to think the same thing. It's front-wheel drive. You have all the braking done on the front. You have all the driving done on the front. Why wouldn't you put the new tires on the front? Actually, the industry says put them on the rear because of hydroplaning, and that way you won't lose control. Actually, the weight's on the front and everything, but you have very little weight on the rear, so you really want the new tires on the rear. That is the industry standard.
Huh.
That's what they say to do. To me, logically, it ought to be on the front, but that's what they say, and it's so that you don't lose control.
I think I guess that makes sense. I mean, if you realize where the engine is.
Right.
And I mean,
that's all the weight. And
all the weight's on the front of the tire, so right. If you're going to slide, you want grip in the part that's the lightest.
Right. And so the part that will most likely slide is the rear. So, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of strange, but that's what the engineers tell me, and they're supposed to be smart. I said supposed to be.
Yeah. All right. Finally here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. This question comes from Roger. He wants to know the best place to buy tools for the weekend mechanic. He's been talking about the bigger things like jack and jack stands and wants to know where you recommend somebody to go buy things for their home garage.
You know, it's funny. I used to go to Sears and things like that, buy jacks and jacks. I go to Harbor Freight. I go to Northern Tool. I'm the cheapest next guy. You know, I just go buy that. I use this stuff once every few weeks. Those kind of people, I have the big presses and things like that. I go and get the Chinese stuff and stuff from Harbor Freight. It works great. Hey, you know, I don't use it very often. And for what I pay for it, it's great. Works great. So
what about online for buying tools?
That's okay, but by the time you mail them in, they're too expensive. And actually, you can buy Harbor Freight and all that other stuff online, too.
It's really?
It's great.
Oh.
For the stuff you don't use very often, like the special tools you only use occasionally, and bearing presses and things like that. Hey, those things work great.
We got about a minute left. I want to ask you a real quick question because it's one I'm curious. Does coolant evaporate?
No, anything will evaporate, but yeah, it evaporates very slowly.
But it does. Okay, because I can't figure out because I never put coolant in my car, and I have had to put coolant in my CC twice now in 2 months.
You have a leak.
I don't though, because But where is it dripping? Because I literally put something down in my parking spot to see if that was going to happen.
Sometimes you'll have a leak, and it'll leak onto a warm motor, and the warm motor will make it evaporate. You've got a seal or something leaking, but it's leaking onto the warm motor, and the warm motor is making
evaporating the coolant.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
That's what it is.
All right.
Need to get it looked at.
Very cool. That will do it for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Get the show on podcastarena.com. Until next week, Mike and I will talk to you later here on Yahoo Sports Radio.